Next item for consideration is H.R. 2288, the Endangered Fish Recovery Programs Improvement Act of 09, sponsored by the gentleman from Colorado, Mr. John Salazar's. I ask unanimous consent that the Subcommittee on Water and Power be discharged from further consideration of the bill without objection, so ordered. I ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered read and open to amendment at any point without objection, so ordered. Subcommittee Chairwoman, the gentlelady from California, Ms. Grace Napolitano, will shortly be offering an amendment in the nature of a substitute to the pending measure. At this time, however, I do recognize her for 5 minutes for the purpose of explaining the bill.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for the hearing on 2288, which would provide continued funding for the Upper Colorado and San Juan River Basin Recovery Implementation Programs. The recovery implementation programs are designed to help protect four species of endangered fish: the razorback sucker, the humpback chub, the bony-tailed chub, and the Colorado pike minnow. Just as importantly, they are designed to help protect local Western economies that depend on the Colorado River for water supply and recreation. By working to proactively ensure the recovery of the endangered fish, the stakeholders together involved in these programs are also ensuring that water needed for agriculture and drinking supplies will continue to be delivered. Furthermore, these programs help provide water for the generation of hydroelectric power within the Upper Colorado River Basin. And this hydropower, which is sold at cost, is some of the cheapest and cleanest energy available to rural economies in the West. For these reasons, Mr. Chairman, these programs have unanimous support from a vast array of stakeholders. These include the states, Utah, Colorado, and Wyoming, as well as all major water users, including large water conservancy districts, power customers like the Colorado River Energy Distributors Association, environmental groups, and Indian tribes. In a moment, I will offer an amendment in nature of a substitute to provide discretionary, or as you call it, subject to availability of appropriations funding through 2023 for these important projects, programs. I do strongly encourage the passage, as do all of the non-federal stakeholders. Later on, we'll debate at least two other amendments to be offered by members of the minority who are not from these districts in the Upper Colorado River Basin. These amendments would hurt water users, it would hurt the power customers, it would hurt the fish recovery efforts. None of the amendments are supported by the people who are in the region and who are collaborating to maximize the beneficial uses of Colorado River. I have a letter from all program participants stating their support for the program and their opposition to these amendments, and I do ask the letter be submitted to the record. Thank you, sir. Water users and power customers want certainty. Members of the committee, these minority amendments to be offered reduce certainty and increase the risk that a situation similar to the water crisis in California will erupt on the Colorado River. And I yield back.
The gentlelady yields back her time and now recognizes subcommittee ranking member, Mr. McClintock, for 5 minutes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And I would like to begin by reminding the chairwoman of the subcommittee that the taxpayers of all of our districts are paying for this program and have a right to insist that the dollars be spent wisely and be spent well. This measure offers yet another example of how the Endangered Species Act has put a gun to the head of the West. The unreasonable effect of this law is now impoverishing millions of people across the country. In California communities, it has devastated the agricultural sector of our economy and threatens us all with permanent water shortages, skyrocketing food prices, and chronic unemployment. The measure before us today seeks to spend $7 million per year, $84 million total through the year 2023, for research, management, operation, and maintenance, and other annual non-capital expenditures in order to keep ESA litigation at bay in the Upper Colorado and San Juan River basins. And that's why it has support, because there's the ESA gun to the head of the supporters. When we briefly discussed this bill at the committee's last hearing, I raised four concerns with the bill. First, as introduced, it violates the pay-as-you-go rule of the House, since it counts on using CRSP hydropower funds that are currently committed to capital repayment. I understand my colleague from California will offer an amendment to resolve this issue for the entire reauthorization, and I want to thank her for that gesture of bipartisanship. That does, however, remain several other concerns. Before moving forward with extending this program, taxpayers deserve to know if it's been effective. Congress mandated that such a report be prepared when it created this program, but this statutory requirement has been ignored by both the previous and current administrations. Perhaps before we throw another $84 million to extend this program, we ought to find out if the program actually works from an administration that's required to produce that report and is charged with implementing it. We received a letter on Monday saying that they do intend to issue such a report at some point in the future, and I'll address that in a few minutes, along with an amendment to address the concern. Third, these recovery programs are running abnormally high administrative costs, in one case 22%. If we're planning on spending American taxpayer money that we don't have on a program we don't know actually works, at least let's set a ceiling on its administrative costs. Congressman Brown of Georgia will introduce an amendment to address this concern. These concerns are correctable with amendments, and with those amendments, I'd support the bill. But we're still faced with the fact that these programs only exist and only command bipartisan support because these steps are mandated by the ESA under threat of the region losing further access to its own water. And at some point, we're going to have to consider major changes to ESA before it further depresses our economy and strangles American agriculture. And I'll yield back.
Her amendment in nature of substitute.
Without thank you,
objection,
Mr. Chair.
The amendment is considered read.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I certainly would thank the ranking member and the subcommittee for his statement. Everything that he has brought up has been addressed, and hopefully we'll be able to resolve most of those things. But Chairman Ray Hall. I'm a little behind times here because I wanted to submit the letter from the U.S. Department of Interior in regard to Ranking Member McClintock's statement, which states they intend to complete the report called for, and I'm sure you have a copy of that letter, and I'd like to introduce it for the record.
Without objection, so order.
And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to indicate it had PAYGO problems, as stated, identified by CBO, and I'm offering an amendment in the nature of a substitute that fixes these problems that we find in PAYGO while preserving funding for the underlying programs. All of the stakeholders contributed to the amendment and fully support it. Thank you, and I yield back.
Yields back her time. Is there any further discussion on substitute? Gentleman from Louisiana is recognized. I'm sorry, California.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Chairwoman's amendment is a step in the right direction. As she says, it resolves the PAYGO concerns that I raised with this bill by subjecting every year's funding to the normal appropriations process rather than just the 10-year budget window. Without the amendment as currently worded, we would have been double-counting revenues by spending money that was already committed to debt service. I appreciate the Chairwoman's cooperation in resolving this concern.
Any further discussion? Gentleman from California, Mr. Costa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a comment and then a question. First of all, I share the gentleman from California's comments with regards to the constraints that the endangered species law is having on a host of multiple water use as it impacts not just Colorado but California, specifically the challenges we're having with biological opinions. It is a conundrum that is creating devastation in large parts of California, areas that I represent, in terms of loss of jobs and farms. And at some point, Mr. Chairman, we're going to have to deal with it, either sooner or later. My question is this. The gentleman from California pointed out the desire to try to, with an amendment that I guess another colleague is going to have that would cap administrative costs. That seems to me to be reasonable. Chairwoman Napolitano, it's my understanding that the committee had done some work as it relates to putting some sort of limit on administrative costs. Could you please explain, because I was not in the subcommittee at the time, as to what action took place with regards to administrative costs?
cost recovery rates are you talking about, sir?
I was just listening to the comments that the statements were making, and there's a proposed amendment, I guess. Has it been proposed yet?
No, not yet. That's what I was waiting for.
Right, okay. And that's my question. Maybe I'll wait until the amendment's proposed, but it just seems to me that there ought to be some caps on administrative costs. How we do that, I think, is reasonable people can work out.
Right. Well, if you wouldn't mind, we'd like to move forward, and then we'll end.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion of the substitute? Are there any amendments to the substitute? Yeah, the gentleman from California is recognized.
I have an amendment at the desk.
We have the amendment. It is in the package. Without objection, will be considered as read and printed record, and the gentleman is recognized for 5 minutes to explain.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill we're considering extends a fish recovery program that's not even due to expire until 2011 at the cost of $84 million. Now, as part of the law that created this program in the year 2000, the Department of Interior was required to prepare a report no later than the end of the fiscal year of 2008, evaluating the effectiveness of that program and determine what additional funding was required. That report has not been prepared or submitted to the Congress. My amendment simply says that before the extension can actually take effect in the first day of the fiscal year of 2012, the department has to complete the report telling Congress if the program actually works. Specifically, under Public Law 106-392, which created the program with a bipartisan majority in 2000, the Secretary of the Interior, quote, shall submit a report no later than the end of the fiscal year of 2008 regarding the need for continued base funding after fiscal year 2011 that may be required to fulfill the goals of the recovery implementation programs. Well, fiscal year 2008 has come and gone. Fiscal year 2009 has come and gone, and still no report. And yet we're voting to extend the program anyway, despite the fact that it doesn't sunset until 2011. Now, some people just might conclude that maybe we're jumping the gun just a little on this. But I am frankly baffled by the majority's opposition to the amendment. It simply requires that the will of Congress be observed. To do anything less makes a mockery of the laws that we pass, and it invites future administrations to ignore Congress's instructions. And it gets even easier. As the chairwoman pointed out on Monday, the administration sent a letter saying that it indeed does intend to produce such a report in full compliance with my amendment and with the original law. So the only basis for opposition to this amendment, the only rational basis to believe the amendment will in some way impede the program, requires a belief that the administration is lying. Now, I suppose that's a possibility. The Bush administration thumbed its nose at this requirement, but we're assured this is a new era. If the majority believes that the administration will follow through and submit the required report telling us how $84 million is being spent, telling us it is being spent wisely, then the majority should embrace the amendment. In what rational world could this possibly be controversial? Taxpayers in Congress deserve to know how this money's been and will be spent, and we need to know what the results and recovery goals will be. That was the promise when this law was passed. The amendment simply suggests that we should keep that promise. And I yield back.
General Adam Calvin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The adoption of the amendment that Mr. McClintock is proposing would punish the fish recovery efforts, the water users, the power users, and the public for the inefficiency of the previous administration. The original authorization for the program was sponsored by my Republican colleagues and successfully implemented for years under a Republican administration, required a report to be submitted to Congress by the end of fiscal year 2008. The report was written by the non-federal participants in the program in 2007 and given to the prior administration. They withheld the report for months, and ultimately the report was withdrawn entirely by the last administration. The lack of action to complete the report occurred under the watch of the minority, yet now the minority wants to punish the program participants because this report was never officially completed and submitted to Congress as required by law. The amendment in question would deauthorize, this is the reason, Mr. McClintock, funding for the recovery implementation programs if the required report of the programs is not submitted by the end of fiscal year 2011. Let me be clear. I agree that if the law says that the administration needs to submit a report to Congress as expected, as mandated by law, we fully expect to receive the report. However, I don't agree with the idea that failure to submit a report should necessarily result in wiping away the underlying programs, especially ones as successful and widely supported as the recovery implementation programs. I have you've already mentioned the letter. It's been received into the record, reiterating its support for completing the study as soon as possible, hopefully within the next few months, and submit it to Congress as soon as possible. Given the commitment of the administration, I urge my colleagues to vote no to the amendment being offered by Ranking Member McClintock, and would like to submit, I've already submitted the letter, so it's there. With that, I yield back, Mr. Chair.
Amendment. General from Georgia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield my time to Mr. McClintock.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. I just want to reiterate that if the gentlelady believes that the administration is telling the truth and this report will be issued, she should have no objection to this amendment. The amendment would then have no effect at all. The only rational basis for her opposing this amendment is that she believes that the administration is lying. And frankly, I wouldn't take so cynical a view. And I yield back.
Reclaiming my time, I'd like to ask Ms. Napolitano, how will accepting this amendment punish the fish recovery program? I don't understand. You make these huge accusations, and I don't see how this is going to punish the fish recovery program. Would you please explain that? Now yield.
My understanding of the amendment is that it negates the bill itself in these areas. And that would necessarily put us back in square one.
Well, you've already said that, reclaiming my time, you've already said that you expect the administration to issue this report. If it issues the report, how would it punish the fish recovery? I just don't understand your accusation here.
Well, you don't want to deauthorize the funding, and that's essentially what the amendment would do.
No, ma'am. It wouldn't. It would just delay the extension of the program until we have a report, and this will cause us to be able to get the report that the law requires. And so I totally disagree with you. I think the accusation is unfounded, and I encourage the adoption of the amendment. And I yield back, Mr. Chairman.
The gentleman yields back his time. The gentleman from Maryland is recognized.
If I could ask the gentlelady from California or the gentleman from California, the original purpose of the provision requiring the report that was due back in 2008. What was the purpose for that? Why was that sought to begin with?
It was to explain the utilization of power revenues that had been brought up as a question by the minority, and that was not answered during the prior administration. It was scuttled, so to speak. Yeah. And it was brought back to the attention of the Department of Interior, and they've agreed they should have the report, and they're working on it as we speak.
And the report is, the according to the letter, the report would be done by when?
It says as soon as possible. I've asked. They tell me it's within the next few months.
What will the gentleman yield?
Yes.
As I said, the original public law 106-392 that established this program required the report to be submitted by the end of the fiscal year of 2008. And the purpose for the report was clearly spelled out in the legislation, and I quote again, to report regarding the need for continued base funding after fiscal year 2011 that may be required to fulfill the goals of the recovery implementation programs. In other words, the administration is supposed to come back and tell us, are these programs working? And if they are working, how much more are we going to need to appropriate? Now, we're jumping the gun on all of that. Republicans are merely asking, before this bill goes into effect on the first day of fiscal year 2012, that we have that accounting from the department.
Are you, Mr. Chairman?
Gentleman, yield back his time. Gentleman from California, seek recognition. Mr. Costa is recognized.
Yes,
for 5 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, you're Solomon-like. You've been here a long time. Maybe you can add your wisdom to this discussion. I think we're
what like?
I said you're Solomon-like. You're a sage. You've been here many years. I have all the respect in the world for the chairman.
You know, but I will say immediately, if the gentleman would yield, I totally agree with the gentlelady from California.
Well, no, but let me ask you the question first.
Oh. I'm still agree with the gentlelady from California.
Wonderful. But this is to the point, and I'm reading the letter from the Secretary of Interior. I think we're making a mountain out of a molehill, it seems to me, because in this letter, I won't read the whole letter, but it says the Secretary intends to complete the report called for in Public Law 106-392 and submit it to the appropriate committees of Congress as soon as possible. We recognize the importance of this report to the oversight function of your committee. Furthermore, the programs involved to provide vital Endangered Species Act compliance for more than the 1,600 federal and tribal non-federal water projects that provides more than 3 million acre-feet of water per year for the Upper Colorado and San Juan Rivers. This is important. So the final line of the paragraph of the letter is, the department will work toward a prompt completion of the report, and we look forward to its delivery to Congress. This, our folks in the loyal opposition, I think, raise a good point. They did not hold their administration, when they were in the majority, accountable on issues like this. Why should we make the same mistake? The Secretary has already said here in this letter that he intends to complete the report as soon as possible and that they're going to work toward a prompt completion. We have a host of issues that we're all concerned with the department. If we don't hold our own administration accountable, who will? And we fall in the same trap that they did when they were in control of not holding their own administration accountable. I mean, the Secretary says it's as soon as possible, and they will have a prompt report. It seems to me we're making a mountain out of a molehill. We ought to hold
Gentleman
them accountable.
Yield.
Yes.
I want to associate myself with your remarks, and I appreciate those personally, and I agree with you that we need to have a report. In passing this amendment, all it will do is it will just hold this administration's feet to the fire. It's deplorable that the past administration did not do what they were supposed to do under the law. But by passing this amendment, all it's going to do is just make sure that this administration goes ahead and issues this report as quickly as possible, and then the bill will go forward as I assume that it's going to pass. And so I think it just makes sense. It's just a means of making sure that the administration goes ahead and does what they're supposed to do in a timely manner. And
it's an important part of our oversight role, seems to me. Yes.
Any other discussion? If not, the question is on the amendment offered by the gentleman from California to the substitute amendment offered by the gentlelady from California. All those in favor of the gentleman from California's amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. No. Opinion of the chair, the noes have it.
On that, I'd ask for the yeas and nays.
Roll call is requested under the chair's prior announcement. Proceedings will be postponed. Are there further amendments to the substitute?
Yes, Mr.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Amendments at the desk.
We have the amendment at the desk, and without objection, it will be considered as read and printed into record, and a gentleman from Georgia is recognized for 5 minutes to explain.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My amendment does one simple thing. It simply ensures that more funding is dedicated to the actual fish recovery than for bureaucratic expenses and salaries. The ultimate goal of this amendment is to help recover the endangered species so that the onerous burdens of the Endangered Species Act are lifted off of the communities. The chairlady said that people, during her discussion, was that people from the areas affected by this bill are not supported. But there are members from our side that absolutely do support my amendment. It is a common sense amendment to make sure that the funds are utilized for what they're supposed to be geared towards, and that's in helping to recover these endangered species instead of being spent on the bureaucrats' expenses and hiring more people. So it just makes sense to keep the administrative cost in line. The amendment would just pull both the San Juan as well as the Colorado River Basin funds into the same administrative neighborhood, as we have seen historically, and I think it's a very good common sense amendment. I encourage its adoption.
Further
With
discussion?
That, I yield back.
Gentlelady from California, recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amendment offered by my colleague, Dr. Brown, would impose an arbitrary ceiling on cost recovery rates that Fish and Wildlife Service can charge program participants. This is something that has been negotiated. They've worked with the service to negotiate their own cost recovery rates of 11% on the programs. This is a standard. This is what they've been doing for the last decades or so. And all of the non-federal stakeholders agree, all of them. There's not one that is standing out and saying we do not agree, that these rates are fair and appropriate. The amendment undermines the stakeholder-driven process and is detrimental to overall program success because it limits funding for fish and wildlife to implement the programs to protect endangered species, which to me is another attack on the ESA. These recovery implementation programs seek to provide certainty to water and power users in the Upper Colorado River Basin, and I do urge my colleagues to oppose this amendment. I yield back.
General Lee yields back. Further discussion? General from California is recognized.
I wonder if the General Lady seriously is arguing that 22% overhead on a program like this is acceptable, and I'd yield to the gentleman from Georgia.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. I might add that Congress has already set limits in the Democratic Congress on the Asian Elephant Conservation Act, the Multinational Species Conservation Fund Reauthorization, the Great Ape Conservation Act, the Marine Turtle Conservation Reauthorization Act, and the Junior Duck Stamp Conservation Design Program Reauthorization Act. So there is ample precedent for doing this, and I would urge my colleagues to not accept the status quo of 22% overhead and instead bring some sanity and common sense to this program and adopt my amendment. I thank the gentleman for yielding. I yield back.
Further discussion of the gentleman from Georgia's amendment? If not, the questions on the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. No. Opinion of the chair, the noes have it.
Mr. Chairman.
Roll call has been requested, and under the chair's prior announcement, proceedings on this vote will be postponed. Are there any other amendments to the substitute amendment? If not, we'll proceed to the next scheduled bill and come back to vote on the amendments to H.R. 2288, the amendment in nature of substitute, and on final passage of the bill. The next item for consideration is H.R. 2476, the Ski Area Recreational Opportunity Enhancement Act of 09, sponsored by the General Lady from California, Diana DeJet. I ask unanimous consent that the subcommittee...
Mr. Chairman, I would...
Colorado, what did I say?
California, I would...
I'm sorry,
I would,
Colorado.
That's okay, I would move to take
apologize.
The gentleman's words down, but I'll withdraw that.
That's it, California. I'm sorry. I ask unanimous consent that the Subcommittee on National Parks, Forests, and Public Lands be discharged from further consideration of the bill without objection, so ordered. I ask unanimous consent the bill be considered read and open for amendment at any point without objection so ordered, and I recognize the gentlelady from Colorado.
Thank you so
for
much.
5 minutes to explain her bill.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. I'm a
That's
proud
a
fourth,
bill, I might add.
I'm a proud fourth generation Coloradoan, actually, so I'm happy to be recognized. I'm happy to sponsor this bill. I think it is a good bill. Ms. McMorris Rogers is my co-sponsor, and I want to thank the bipartisan group of members from the committee who are all co-sponsoring this bill. The Ski Area Recreational Opportunity Enhancement Act of 2009 will bring the Ski Area Permit Act up to date by providing the Forest Service with clear authority to approve summer and seasonal activities for ski areas on public land while providing guidance on the types of activities that should be allowed. No Ferris wheels allowed. It will also make the common sense change of expanding permitted activities to include snow sports such as snowboarding. Our bill creates new recreational opportunities for the millions of Americans who visit ski areas every year, and it will encourage families and kids to spend more time outdoors. It will also provide substantial benefits to local economies by creating stable year-round jobs. And at the appropriate time, Mr. Chairman, I'll offer an amendment in the nature of a substitute, which we've developed in consultation with the Forest Service, the ski industry, and the environmental community to address the issues raised at the hearing that we had. I urge all the members to support this bill, and I yield back.
is back. Is there further discussion? Gentleman.
Thank you.
Gentleman from Washington's recognized.
Thank you. I just wanted to raise a concern. I had thought about an amendment that would deal with issues of aesthetics on installations. I do have a concern about installations of equipment that essentially can mar the beauty of the hills from folks that may or not even be at the particular site, the recreation site. And I do appreciate Mr. Getz's language in the bill that requires a harmonization of the installations with the surrounding environment. And I think that's really important because I don't think a lot of folks want to see really bright blue sort of plastic installations running up the mountains that are really not necessary. If we can find a way to make them coordinate in color and otherwise with the surroundings. So I just wanted to ask Ms. DeGette if she could share with us her intentions as principal sponsor of the bill in this regard.
The gentleman would yield.
Yes.
I share the gentleman's concerns, but I don't really think it's the job of Congress to, in the statute, to drill down to that level. And that's why in working with the Forest Service and the rest of the interest groups, we put language in the bill that says that the activities must harmonize with the natural environment. And it's our intent to that language should mean just what we say, which is we're talking about a ski area, we're talking about a summer use, and that's great. We want to make sure that whatever we have is not, you know, day glow orange or Ferris wheels or things like that. But we think that should be up to the discretion of the Forest Service to decide when they're looking at the permits, not in the underlying statute itself.
And I appreciate that, and I hope the Forest Service will pay heed to this, the need to harmonize this to the extent possible. And I think there is a way to provide people a recreational experience and still reduce the aesthetic appeal, and hope that we won't be seeing blue plastic running up down the Cascade Mountains, State of Washington. Thank you very much.
Any further discussion? Gentleman from Utah, Mr. Bishop.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to commend you, Mr. Chairman, as well as the sponsor for moving this particular bill forward. It has been some time since this committee has moved a bill that expands public access and recreational activities on federal lands. I certainly hope this becomes a pattern and not an anomaly of the future. But this legislation will expand year-round activities available in ski areas that are located on Forest Service lands. This legislation does not waive ESA, does not waive NEPA or any other type of activities. It simply allows the Secretary to permit additional recreation activities to take place. The ski areas in our states have not been immune from the current economic climate. This bill will assist them by allowing warm weather activities like zip lines and climbing walls and alpine slides and plastic courses going down in blue and green colors in ski areas that will be able to attract visitors during the summer when most families do take their vacations to these particular areas. So from all of us who live in areas that rely very heavily on the ski industry, this is one of those things that's going to be extremely helpful, especially in those summer months when tourism dollars are attracted to these particular areas. So I appreciate the gentlelady for introducing this legislation. I firmly support it.
Any further discussion? If not, the gentlelady from Colorado, the bill sponsor, is recognized for 5 minutes to explain her amendment and nature of a substitute. And without objection, the amendment is considered as read and printed in the record.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The substitute amendment makes several changes to address issues raised by the Forest Service, the ski industry, and the environmental community. These changes will give the Forest Service better guidance about the types of summer and seasonal activities that it can approve under its new authority. The substitute also will grandfather in existing activities that have already been authorized by the Forest Service in these areas to protect investments that ski areas have already made with government approval. At the request of the Forest Service, the substitute also specifies that ski area permit boundaries should continue to be set based only on snow sport activities. We think this is a good limitation, Mr. Chairman, and I think that the substitute amendment addresses the issues that we raised in our both in the hearing and also in our continued negotiations. And I'll yield back my time and move the amendment.
General Lady yields back. Further discussion on her substitute? Are there any amendments to the substitute? If not, the question's on the amendment in the nature of a substitute offered by the gentlelady from Colorado. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. Saying no. In opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. And the amendment in nature of a substitute is agreed to. The question is now in favor of reporting the bill as amended to the House of Representatives. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying no. Opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes have it. And the bill is favorably reported to the House of Representatives as amended. And without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The next item for consideration is H.R. 3726, the Castle Nugent National Historic Site Establishment Act of 09, sponsored by the gentlelady from the Virgin Islands, Dr. Donna Christensen. I ask unanimous consent that the Subcommittee on National Parks, Forests, and Public Lands be discharged from further consideration of the bill without objection, so ordered. I ask unanimous consent the bill be considered read and open for amendment at any point without objection, so ordered. I now recognize the gentlelady from the Virgin Islands for 5 minutes for the purpose of explaining her bill.
Thank you, Chairman Ray Hall, and thank you and Ranking Member for allowing me to switch my time around on this amendment so that I could attend an important meeting over in the Senate with my governor. But I also want to thank you, Chairman Ray Hall, and Subcommittee Chairman Grijalva, as well as Ranking Member Hastings and Bishop, for your support and swift action in bringing H.R. 3726 before the Subcommittee and now the full committee for consideration. This bill seeks to establish the Castle Nugent Historic Site on St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands, and the establishment of the Castle Nugent Historic Site would provide an excellent opportunity and a very unique opportunity to preserve one of the remaining pristine landscapes for the people of St. Croix and visitors to the island for generations to come and for our nation, people across our great nation. H.R. 3726 calls for the preservation of 2,900 acres, which include a Caribbean dry forest, extensive coral reef system, one of the best preserved coral reef systems in the Caribbean, and the most substantial black mangrove stand left in the Virgin Islands. In addition to guaranteeing the protection of one of the most ecologically sensitive areas on the island, the bill also preserves a rich part of our historic and cultural past by preserving the archaeological remains of our indigenous Taino inhabitants, as well as a Danish estate house, which is now listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Castle Nugent Estate is one of the last working cattle ranches on St. Croix, and one of the ranches instrumental in the development of an exportation of a very unique cattle, the Senepole cattle, throughout the Caribbean and the rest of the world. Our bill, H.R. 3726, would ensure the continued rearing of the Senepole cattle with a provision that guarantees a continued relationship with the University of the Virgin Islands to support ongoing scientific research. A special resource study authorized in 2006 has determined that the site meets the criteria set by the National Park Service to determine national significance, suitability, and feasibility. And I'd like to thank at this time the numerous community members who wrote in support of this bill, our National Park Superintendent, Mr. Joel Tatine, Mr. Olasi Davis, who testified, the Gasperi family, who asked us to provide this study for inclusion, and the Trust for Public Lands for their support. And on behalf of the people of the Virgin Islands, I truly appreciate this opportunity to speak on behalf and your support for this bill. I yield back the balance.
General A yields back. Gentleman from Utah, Mr. Bishop, the ranking member.
Thank you. Somewhat torn with this particular piece of legislation because I have no intentions of trying to harm the overall approach, but there are some considerations and concerns that I think we have yet to do, specifically because the National Park Service has yet to complete the congressionally authorized study of this proposal. The agency has asked, in fact, that we defer consideration until such time that it is completed. These studies are not without costs. They take years, and they cost as much as $500,000, but the use of them, but there is no use for them if we either choose to ignore the results or try to pass legislation before the study can be finalized. Typically, these studies do contain information that is useful in crafting legislation. For example, we would simply like to know the process they went through in consulting landowners in this particular area. So the cost of acquiring this is significant. It will be as much as $50 million, cost maybe $1 million a year to operate. We have looked at those type of situations in other areas. I would feel much more comfortable if the study had been done before the fact of actually making that type of a commitment. In addition, I'd like to know, and this is part of what the study would do, of what we'll do with almost the 3,000 acres, even though this is talking about a cattle property on the island, the expansion goes 3 miles out into the ocean as well, which may have impacts on what takes place in that particular area. There is no willing seller provision, which we would like. We have heard there has been some discord in the family as to whether this designation is the wisest use of their property, and we have not heard from other property owners that may be impacted by this particular area. So I do not wish to condemn this as a bad idea. What I do wish to say is that we should have taken the advice of the Park Service, postponing this decision until they have actually completed a study where some of these questions can be answered, and we may have a much easier approach to deal with it. So I'm not trying to talk against the concept of what the gentlelady from the Virgin Islands is trying to do. I am saying that we are making a rush here, and we are violating our own process and procedures. And in so doing, we may make an improper decision.
Further discussion? John from Arizona, Mr. Grijalva.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this point, let me yield to Dr. Christensen for any comments she might have in response to the comments up to this point.
Whitesell, the Associate Director of Park Planning Facilities and Lands, where he says, where he said at our hearing, the National Park Service draft study has found that the site meets the NPS's criteria for addition to the national park system. There were a number of meetings at home, and many people had intended, would have loved to have come and testified, who are landowners in the area and around the territory in support of this bill. The family is fully supportive of this of H.R. 3726 as well. The problems involving the family really were around their need to get this done and the pressures on them for sale of the property. Their unique circumstances, which require moving forward with this legislation before the study has formally been transmitted to Congress. The family, again, has been incredibly patient with the pressure to sell the land to developers being overwhelming, and yet they have persisted with us to try to do the right thing and sell the land to the government for conservation and preservation purposes. Just people in the Virgin Islands are really not willing to let another piece of land that is as important to us as this go to another developer who, as many have done in the past, will find ways to cut off our use to that land. So the Park Service is really the best way for us to preserve this for the use of people in the Virgin Islands, for our students, for the cattle, and for the people who would come and visit. Both the Bush and Obama administrations have supported this designation every step of the way. The current administration has testified that this study is completed. It's just going through the usual bureaucratic process for final issuance, and that the study fully supports the designation that we're seeking. So the designation is supported by my constituents. There's been no objection from any of the people who own property nearby. It's very important to preserve these the area and the artifacts and the natural resources there. And if I could, I think I'll leave it at that. I hope that the committee will approve the inclusion of Castle Nugent into the National Park Service today and help our community to preserve this very, very important part of our history and our natural resources.
Mr. Chairman,
gentlelady, yield back.
I'm
sorry.
I yield back to Mr. Grijalva.
I'm sorry.
Right now, we have a willing seller, relatively low price for the land within the proposed park. We have an NPS study that has affirmed the value and uniqueness of this site. I think we need to seize the opportunity, and Dr. Christensen is correct. This is a timing issue as much as it is something that has already been reaffirmed by studies beginning in 2003. Till now, I think it is a good piece of legislation. I urge support, and I yield back.
Gentleman from Arizona yields back his time. Gentleman from South Carolina, Mr. Brown, is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Christian, if I could just ask you a little bit about the project so you have a better understanding. Is this a castle itself, or is this – it's not a castle, just open space?
There's a great house, which is the old Danish plantation house, and some other buildings on the property, but it's not specifically a castle. It's just that the name of the estate is Castle Nugent.
Okay. And it's being used now for farming, I guess, raising cattle. Is that the main purpose?
It is, but it's also used for the tourists come and visit the property now. The area down by the ocean is used for camping and other uses by the people of the territory. And the guest house is rented out occasionally to families who come and visit the Virgin Islands. St. Croix in particular.
And would that change the if the state or the federal government actually purchased this land with it? What would they actually do with it?
I think that a lot of the uses would continue as provided for in the law. The centipole cattle is a very unique and sturdy form of cattle that is utilized particularly in South and Central America, but other parts of the world as well. So we allow that ranching to continue, as well as the research into the cattle and the exportation of those cattle. So that continues. The use of the great house would continue, but it's very important to us to preserve the artifacts that are there, some pre-Columbian artifacts and the ones from the Danish times, and to keep this to protect our reef as well, but also to keep this important historic property in St. Croix for the use of the people of St. Croix and those who would visit, and to make it a central part of what we hope to bring before this committee next year, our National Heritage Area.
And it's only one owner of the total property now?
It's a family, Gasperi.
And they raise those cattle now?
They've been raising them.
And who would actually continue that operation?
The Agricultural Extension Service at the University of the Virgin Islands, which is a land-grant university.
And it'd be for a profit, but would just be for experimental or for
both.
Enhancing the...
My understanding is both.
And how much would it cost?
How much would the property cost, the whole property? I think it's estimated somewhere between $40 and $50 million.
And how many acres is it?
2,900.
Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, you have back his time. Who is first? Mr. Brown of Georgia is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I cannot support this bill. The outrageous spending of this Congress has to stop, and it's time to stop it right here and now. The family can preserve this property without passing this bill, without Congress intervening. This is going to put a further burden on the U.S. Park Service that has not the money to maintain the properties it already has. We've already heard in previous testimony before this committee that the U.S. Park Service is billions of dollars behind in maintaining the current property that they have, and it's just foolish to add more property on an administration that cannot even maintain what it does have. So it's just, I appreciate the lady's efforts to preserve the property, and I think it's very laudable for the family to offer it to the Park Service, but there are other ways of doing this without adding a further burden on the taxpayers of this country. We don't have unlimited funds. Our grandchildren are going to pay a very, very steep price for the outrageous spending that this Congress is doing. And it just has to stop. And I cannot support this bill because it's just going to continue adding further burden upon the taxpayers currently, and it's going to add further burden upon the Park Service. Plus, it's going to add further burden upon our children and our grandchildren. So I cannot and will not support this bill. And, Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
John from Utah, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate it. Pretty much anything on St. Croix, I'd probably be in favor of preserving. It's one of the most beautiful places on the face of the planet. But just as was articulated, I too have deep concern that this is not the proper time to move forward on this. We don't even know the price of this property yet. To say that it's between $40 and $50 million is a huge range. We don't have the proper report. And as the gentleman just pointed out, we don't have the money, ladies and gentlemen. We can no longer be just using the government credit card to go buy beautiful places on earth that we think should be preserved. The fact of the matter is that the predecessors before this body and some of the people in this body have misspent and overspent the American people's money. We're $12 trillion in debt. We're about to vote on a bill to extend the debt ceiling, and then have to come back and do it again in February. We're paying almost $600 million a day just in interest on our debt. We don't have $40 or $50 million to go buy another piece of property. I wish we did. I wish we could preserve it. Maybe this Congress at some point in time will make tough decisions so we have the resources to go do something worthwhile such as this project. But we can't do it. We don't have the money. I yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman yields back. Further discussion of the amendment? The bill. If not, we're ready to start the amendment process. Are there any amendments to the bill? General Lady from the Virgin Islands.
Thank you, Chairman Ray Hall. This is a very minor amendment, and my amendment would simply correct the reference in the original bill to the Castle Nugent National Historic Site proposed boundary map. That amendment would insert a map title and a number along with the date that it was prepared.
Further discussion of the amendment? Not the questions on the amendment by the General Lady from Virgin Islands. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. Opinion chair, the ayes have it. The ayes have it, and the amendment is adopted. The question is now on favorably reporting the bill to the House of Representatives as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed signify by saying no. Opinion chair, the ayes have it. Gentleman from Utah. Or gentleman from Georgia.
Request a recorded vote on that.
Roll call vote has been requested. We'll now proceed with the next scheduled bill and come back to vote on the final passage of H.R. 3776. The next item for consideration is H.R. 3538, the Idaho Wilderness Water Resources Protection Act, sponsored by the gentleman from Idaho, Mr. Mike Simpson. I ask unanimous consent to the Subcommittee on National Parks, Forests, and Public Lands be discharged from further consideration of the bill without objection so ordered. I ask unanimous consent the bill be considered read an open amendment for any point without objection so ordered. Subcommittee Chairman, the gentleman from Arizona, Mr. Grijalva, will shortly be offering an amendment in the nature of a substitute to the pending measure. At this time, however, I do recognize him for 5 minutes to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a necessary bill. The sponsor has provided the subcommittee at our hearing with the information necessary, and I yield back so that we can propose a motion in the nature of a substitute for the legislation.
The ranking member is not here. Any member of the minority wish to be recognized? The ranking member is recognized. Yes, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm doing this in lieu of the ranking member of the committee, Mr. Bishop, who was called away. H.R. 3538, as introduced by Mr. Simpson of Idaho, would require the Forest Service to issue special maintenance permits to owners of certain existing water systems within the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness and Selway Bitterroot Wilderness in Idaho. There are approximately 25 water diversions within Idaho wilderness areas that predate the wilderness designation. Although the diversions continue to operate, their owners currently lack the authority to maintain and repair the facilities. Failure to maintain these facilities can not only harm the farms and ranchers that need assured access to water to be viable, but can also damage the environment and watersheds in the Forest Service land. H.R. 3538 would authorize the Forest Service to issue special use permits to owners of those existing water systems within the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness and Selway Bitterroot Wilderness in Idaho to do the necessary maintenance. The legislation is narrowly tailored to apply only to a small number of sites that meet specific criteria for these permits. To qualify, the water diversion facility must have been in existence on the date that the area was designated as part of the National Wilderness Preservation System. It must have been in substantially continuous use since the date of designation, and the owner of the facilities must hold a valid water right under Idaho law that predates the wilderness designation. Additionally, the sites can only be covered by the bill if it is not practical or feasible to relocate the facilities to land outside of the wilderness area and continue the beneficial use of water recognized under state law. Mr. Simpson worked with the Forest Service in developing this legislative remedy to the problem, and I am told the service supports the bill and wants to facilitate maintenance of these water diversion structures. I understand there may be an ANS adding additional restrictions. I do not believe these additional changes are necessary in the bill that is already carefully tailored to fit only a small number of facilities in one state. But I do think there is a needed lesson in this exercise we are going through, because it illustrates the collateral damage we cause to innocent bystanders when we designate areas that contain useful man-made features as wilderness. This designation is the most inflexible and restricted land use weapon in our arsenal, and too often we find after the fact that we must pass additional federal legislation simply to allow some beneficial activity to continue. We ought to be wise enough to devise sound conservation practices in our lands without creating the unintended threats to neighboring families that poorly thought out a wilderness designation can bring. There is no reason we cannot do both to be good stewards and good neighbors. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Thank you very much again, Mr.
Without
Chairman.
Without objection, be considered read and printed record.
My amendment in the nature of a substitute to H.R. 3538 is necessary to protect the outstanding wilderness characteristics of the Frank Church River of No Return and No Return Wilderness and the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness. In this substitute, the 20 entities that were not identified in the original bill, the facilities and their water facilities, would be eligible for special use authorizations that are identified now in the maps created by the Forest Service. Lastly, the Secretary must carry out a minimum tools analysis prior to approving the use of motorized equipment in the wilderness area. This amendment is in the nature of a substitute, makes necessary changes to the bill, and I urge the members to support it, and I yield back. Thank you.
Ranking member, what you recognize on substitute?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While the authors of this and the ranking member of the subcommittee expressed concerns for the ANS as being unnecessary, Nevertheless, we are not opposed to the ANS, and we will move with that, obviously with the understanding that we have talked about before. If there is something that does show up between now and for this bill to go forward, we'll address those issues. But as far as the ANS, we have no objection to that. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I yield back my time.
Further discussion on the amendment in nature of substitute? Are there any amendments to the amendment in nature of substitute? If not, the questions on the amendment in nature of substitute offered by the gentleman from Arizona, Mr. Grijalva. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. Opinion chair, the ayes have it. The ayes have it. And the amendment in nature of substitute is agreed to. The question is now in favor of reporting the bill as amended to the House of Representatives. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. Opinion chair, the ayes have it. The ayes have it. And the bill is favorably reported to the House of Representatives as amended. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. Under the Chair's prior announcement, it is now in order to vote on those matters which were postponed. The first vote will occur on the question of the amendment offered by Mr. McClintock of California to the amendment and nature substitute to H.R. 2288, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Rahal.
No.
Mr. Rahal votes no. Mr. Hastings.
Aye.
Mr. Hastings votes aye. Mr. Miller. Mr. Young. Mr. Markey. Mr. Gallagly.
Aye.
Mr. Gallagly votes aye. Mr. Kildee.
Aye.
Mr. Kildee votes aye. Mr. Duncan.
Oh, no.
No.
Mr.
No.
Kildee votes no.
Pardon me.
Mr. Duncan. Mr. Duncan votes aye. Mr. DeFazio. Mr. Flake. Mr. Falima Vega.
No.
Mr. Falima Vega votes no. Mr. Brown from South Carolina.
Aye.
Mr. Brown votes aye. Mr. Abercrombie. Mrs. McMorris-Rogers.
No.
Mr. Abercrombie votes no. Mrs. McMorris-Rogers. Mr. Pallone. Mr. Gohmert. Mrs. Napolitano. Mrs. Napolitano votes no. Mr. Bishop. Mr. Holt. Mr. Schuster. Mr. Grijalva. Mr. Grijalva votes no. Mr. Lamborn.
Aye.
Mr. Lamborn votes aye. Ms. Bordaglio. Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith votes aye. Mr. Costa. Mr. Whitman.
Aye.
Mr. Whitman votes aye. Mr. Bourne. Mr. Bourne votes aye. Mr. Brown from Georgia.
Aye.
Mr. Brown votes aye. Mr. Sablon. Mr. Sablon votes no. Mr. Fleming. Mr. Fleming votes aye. Mr. Heinrich. Mr. Heinrich votes no. Mr. Kaufman. Mr. Kaufman votes aye. Mr. Hinchey. Mr. Chaffetz. Mr. Chaffetz votes aye. Mrs. Christensen. Mrs. Christensen votes no. Mrs. Lummis. Ms. DeGette. Mr. McClintock. Mr. McClintock votes aye. Mr. Kind. Mr. Kind votes no. Mr. Cassidy. Mrs. Capps. Mrs. Capps votes no. Mr. Inslee. Mr. Inslee votes no. Mr. Baca. Mr. Baca votes no. Ms. Herseth-Sandlin. Ms. Herseth-Sandlin votes no. Mr. Sarbanes. Mr. Sarbanes votes no. Ms. Shea Porter. Ms. Shea Porter votes no. Ms. Tsongas. Ms. Tsongas votes no. Mr. Cradiville. Mr. Cradiville votes aye. Mr. Pierluisi. Mr. Pierluisi votes no.
Call the roll those who did not answer first time.
Mr. Miller. Mr. Young. Mr. Markey. Mr. DeFazio. Mr. Flake. Mrs. McMorris-Rogers. Mr. Pallone. Mr. Gohmert. Mr. Gohmert votes aye. Mr. Bishop. Mr. Holt. Mr. Holt votes no. Mr. Schuster. Ms. Bordaglio. Mr. Costa. Mr. Costa votes aye. Mr. Hinchey. Mr. Hinchey votes no. Mrs. Lummis. Ms. DeGette. Mr. Cassidy.
Aye.
Mr. Cassidy votes aye.
Are there other members who wish to vote? How is Mr. Miller recorded?
Mr. Miller has not been recorded. Mr. Miller votes no.
Any other members? Clerk will report.
Mr. Chairman, on this vote, the yeas are 17 and the ayes are 21.
The amendment is not not agreed to, and the next item for voting is the question on the amendment offered by Mr. Brown of Georgia to the amendment in nature substitute to H.R. 2288, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Rahal.
No.
Mr. Rahal votes no. Mr. Hastings.
Aye.
Mr. Hastings votes aye. Mr. Miller.
No.
Mr. Miller votes no. Mr. Young. Mr. Markey. Mr. Gallagly.
Aye.
Mr. Gallagly votes aye. Mr. Kildee.
No.
Mr. Kildee votes no. Mr. Duncan. Mr. Duncan votes aye. Mr. DeFazio. Mr. Flake. Mr. Falimu-Vega.
No.
Mr. Falimu-Vega votes no. Mr. Brown for South Carolina. Mr. Brown votes aye. Mr. Abercrombie. Mr. Abercrombie votes no. Ms. McMorris-Rogers. Mr. Pallone. Mr. Gohmert. Mr. Gohmert votes aye. Mrs. Napolitano? Mrs. Napolitano votes no. Mr. Bishop? Mr. Holt? Mr. Holt votes no. Mr. Schuster? Mr. Grijalva? Mr. Grijalva votes no. Mr. Lamborn? Mr. Lamborn votes aye. Ms. Bordalio? Mr. Smith? Mr. Smith votes aye. Mr. Costa? Mr. Costa votes no. Mr. Whitman? Mr. Whitman votes aye. Mr. Bourne? Mr. Bourne votes aye. Mr. Brown from Georgia? Mr. Brown votes aye. Mr. Sablon? Mr. Sablon votes no. Mr. Fleming? Mr. Fleming votes aye. Mr. Heinrich? Mr. Heinrich votes no. Mr. Kaufman? Mr. Kaufman votes aye. Mr. Hinchy? Mr. Hinchy votes no. Mr. Chaffetz? Mr. Chaffetz votes aye. Mrs. Christensen? Mrs. Christensen votes no. Mrs. Lummis? Ms. DeGette? Ms. DeGette votes no. Mr. McClintock? Mr. McClintock votes aye. Mr. Kind? Mr. Kind votes no. Mr. Cassidy?
Aye.
Mr. Cassidy votes aye. Mrs. Capps? Mrs. Capps votes no. Mr. Inslee?
No.
Mr. Inslee votes no. Mr. Baca? Mr. Baca votes no. Ms. Herseth-Sandlin? Ms. Herseth-Sandlin votes no. Mr. Sarbanes? Mr. Sarbanes votes no. Ms. Shea Porter? Ms. Shea Porter votes no. Ms. Tsongas? Ms. Tsongas votes no. Mr. Cradiville? Mr. Cradiville votes no. Mr. Pierluisi? Mr. Pierluisi votes no.
The clerk will call the names of those who failed to respond in the first round.
Mr. Young? Mr. Markey? Mr. DeFazio? Mr. Flake? Ms. McMorris-Rogers? Mr. Pallone? Mr. Bishop? Mr. Schuster? Ms. Bordalio? Mrs. Lummis?
Clerk will announce the vote.
And Mr. Chairman, on this vote, the yeas are 15 and the nays are 24.
And the amendment is not agreed to. The question now comes on the amendment in the nature of a substitute offered by the gentlelady from California, Grace Napolitano. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes have it, and the amendment is agreed to. The question now is on favorably reporting the bill as amended to the House of Representatives. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes have it, and the amendment is agreed to. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table. And the question now is on favorably reporting H.R. 3726 to the House of Representatives as amended. All those in favor will say aye. Pick it up, folks.
We had a roll call.
You're going to have a roll call on this?
Yeah, we had a roll call. That's what we're waiting
for. Okay.
Yeah, we already had a roll call.
Put down the roll call and take the roll call, you guys, okay? So where are we here? The clerk will call the roll. That's where we're going.
Mr. Rahal? Mr. Hastings?
No.
Mr. Hastings votes no. Mr. Miller?
Aye.
Mr. Miller votes aye. Mr. Young? Mr. Markey? Mr. Gallagly? Mr. Gallagly votes no. Mr. Kildee?
Aye.
Mr. Kildee votes aye. Mr. Duncan? Mr. Duncan votes no. Mr. DeFazio? Mr. Flake? Mr. Folliumo-Vega?
Yes.
Mr. Folliumo-Vega votes aye. Mr. Brown from South Carolina? Mr. Brown votes no. Mr. Abercrombie? Mr. Abercrombie votes aye. Ms. McMorris-Rogers? Mr. Pallone? Mr. Gohmert? Mr. Gohmert votes no. Mrs. Napolitano? Mr. Bishop? Mr. Holt?
Aye.
Mr. Holt votes aye. Mr. Schuster? Mr. Grijalva? Mr. Grijalva votes aye. Mr. Lamborn? Mr. Lamborn votes no. Ms. Bordalio? Mr. Smith? Mr. Smith votes no. Mr. Costa? Mr. Whitman? Mr. Costa votes aye. Mr. Whitman? Mr. Whitman votes no. Mr. Boren? Mr. Boren votes aye. Mr. Brown from Georgia?
No.
Mr. Brown votes no. Mr. Sablon? Mr. Sablon votes aye. Mr. Fleming? Mr. Fleming votes no. Mr. Heinrich? Mr. Heinrich votes aye. Mr. Kaufman?
No.
Mr. Kaufman votes no. Mr. Hinchy? Mr. Hinchy votes aye. Mr. Chaffetz? Mr. Chaffetz votes no. Mrs. Christensen? And Mrs. Christensen votes aye. Mrs. Lemus? Ms. Stigett? Ms. Stigett votes aye. Mr. McClintock? Mr. McClintock votes no. Mr. Kind? Mr. Kind votes aye. Mr. Cassidy? Mrs. Capps? Mrs. Capps votes aye. Mr. Inslee? Mr. Inslee votes aye. Mr. Baca? Mr. Baca votes aye. Ms. Herseth-Sandlin? Ms. Herseth-Sandlin votes aye. Mr. Sarbanes? Mr. Sarbanes votes aye. Ms. Shea Porter? Ms. Shea Porter votes aye. Ms. Tsongas? Ms. Tsongas votes aye. Mr. Cradiville? Mr. Cradiville votes aye. Mr. Pierluisi?
Aye.
Mr. Pierluisi votes aye. Mr. Rahal? Mr. Rahal votes aye. Mr. Young? Mr. Markey? Mr. DeFazio? Mr. Flake? Ms. McMorris Rogers? Mr. Pallone? Mrs. Napolitano? Mrs. Napolitano votes aye. Mr. Bishop? Mr. Schuster? Ms. Bordalio? Mrs. Lemus? Mr. Cassidy?
No.
Mr. Cassidy votes no. Mr. Chairman, on this vote, the yeas are 25 and the nays are 14.
I report to the House of Representatives as amended. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.